Galatians chapter number 1, because of the distance in which we've been from our time in Galatians, I want to just review very quickly. We want to start reading in Galatians chapter number 1 in the opening message. We're learning about Paul the Apostle. The Bible says in verse number 1, Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. We looked at the calling of God's minister. The Apostle Paul was not designated by man, not called by man, but called by Almighty God. Then we looked at the challenge from the minister of God, and he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." He challenges them to live in the grace of God, and he challenges them to know the peace of God. Then we ended that first section with the cornerstone of God's minister. What is the cornerstone of his ministry, of his preaching, of his investment in the lives of others? Well, here is the gospel, verse number 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we do recognize again, the Father deserves all the glory and praise for what he has given to us. And by the way, this is not necessarily arranged this way, but it's been amazing to my heart at how much of the music this morning has pointed really to the message. And so I pray that some of the themes that you've seen in these songs would be in your heart and in your mind as we look this morning at this next section. Back in the beginning of October, we looked at verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." We looked at the deception of Satan. He is a master deceiver. He deceives. His deception is smooth and subtle. His deception is slow and methodical. And he is deceiving people today. We looked at that principle that they had been moved to another gospel, which was not another message of the same kind, but a totally different message. And so it wasn't just a different messenger preaching from the same word. This was a completely different gospel. The Galatians and the believers there in Galatia had been, of course, saved by grace, and there were those that had come in and said, "Well, now it's great that you've been saved by grace, but now you need to understand the nature of how works plays a part in that saving grace." And so, as I've said numerous times, it is either all of grace or all of works, but it cannot be both. The minute that you add any work into the matter, it is no longer grace. And if it is absent of works, then it must all be by grace. And I tell you what, it is tremendous to think about heaven and the fact that we all arrive home in heaven and we have the same testimony. I have arrived here because of the grace of Almighty God. And so it will be a great blessing on that day to meet people from every country and every continent and every culture that have come to know Jesus as their Savior. We move from verses 6 and 7 and we take new ground this morning. Would you read with me then verse number 8? "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." This is very significant for us this morning. Here in 2023, we are inundated with individuals that are preaching another gospel. We've seen the deception of Satan, and so we begin this morning with the matter of the duty of every believer. The deception of Satan, it is obvious in the world today. It is one degree off of truth. It is amazing to me in traveling around the globe and identifying different religion that has been created by man, how many of the terms are interchangeable with what we say on a weekly basis here at FBT, but the definitions are entirely different. Satan is ever so deceptive. And so we have an obligation to deal with that deception. What is the duty of every believer? We must be truth inspectors. Truth inspectors. Do you ever get an item in the mail from Amazon or from Walmart or something like that, and you go in and there's a tag inside of it that says inspected by number 44, inspected by number 12, inspected by number 3 or whatever? You want the person that's doing that inspection to do a very good job. We were just speaking this morning, some of the young adults had recently been on a ropes course and on a zip line, and we were talking about the wilds from a couple of weekends ago, and a number of us there and the couples retreat went on the zip line that they have over the Third Falls. And boy, if there's ever a time that I pray that someone inspects everything correctly, it's that individual that's putting the harnesses on us. And they say to you, go ahead and step up on these two pieces of 4x4 and then pull this mechanism up around your waist. And then they begin to tie it, and then they apologize. I'm sorry, is that too tight? I said, I don't care. I said, make it as tight as ye can, even using some good King James English, all right? And so when we say to them, do a good job, and then we get up there and they give you a helmet. Really? What is this going to do for me on a 300-foot fall? If I'm going down, I'm not going to say to myself, you know, if I could somehow turn myself upside down and land on my helmet, I'll be okay. And I don't know if any of the other people thought this or not, but the helmet is really not that thick. And I'm thinking to myself, if we go, this is not going to be sufficient. But they give you your helmet, and then they go, and then they keep you strapped in all along the line until you get to that point. And then they just say this: sit down and enjoy yourself. And so you sit down into that harness, and your weight begins to have the entirety of that zip line. And I got to tell you, I really wish I could ride it back to back, because the first time I don't see anything for my prayer walk. I'm praying the whole time, Lord, just get me over there. And then we go and we connect again, and I just pray the whole time on the way back, Lord, get me back. And then I'd like to go and just ride it again where I'd enjoy it, because I'm like, okay, it held me. Everything is good to go. But boy, you know, there are certain things that we want inspected very well. If you've ever been in an automobile accident and your airbag has deployed, you want the people that are putting that airbag in to be good inspectors. You want them to do a good job. You want individuals that have that role to be very sensitive to anything that seems as though it's out of sorts. Well, my friend, you and I ought to be truth inspectors. For the sake of my faith, for the sake of my family, for the sake of our church's future, we must be truth inspectors. If I'm going to be a truth inspector, then first of all, I have to know God's word. I have to know God's word. You see, man is prone to change, and much or most of that change is in a downward direction. At times, in different ministries, I would have people come to me and they would say something like this: Pastor, your preaching sounds just like the denomination that I used to be in. And they would say, you know, 40 years ago, Pastor, the denomination that I was in preached the same way that you're preaching today. But that denomination is no longer preaching and speaking as you're speaking on Bible doctrine. And so we face this challenge in a world that is ever changing, and so much of it is in a downward direction. But we understand this morning, the Bible does not change. The Bible is not moved by society. The Bible is not moved by culture. I must go to the Word of God, and I must find the answers for society, not look to society to help me change the Bible. Tragically, we have many denominations today that if they were true to their new beliefs, they must tear out entire portions of the scriptures. They must tear out entire chapters of the Bible. They must tear out entire books of the Bible. Why? Because in their practice, they no longer believe what the Bible says. We must know God's word. You see, God's word is a fence. Boy, so often, as you see cattle inside the fence row, we think to ourselves, the cattle don't understand the nature of the protection of that fence. Have you ever seen a cow with its head stuck through the fence and they're reaching as far as they can to get as much of the grass outside of the fence as they can possibly have because they're not satisfied with the 57 acres of grass that's inside of the fence line. And so they're stretching and they're stretching and they're stretching. Now, I know as a young person, I always thought that the fences that my parents had established were to keep me from having fun in life. And my parents were just out there to kill all of my joy and to kill all of my happiness. And my parents put up many, many fences. And then because I would act in a way that was not right, they put up more fences. But now at my stage of life, I look back and I say, boy, praise God for the fences. At different times in watching my cousin deal with cattle, there in the Midwest, there would be cattle that would get outside of the fence and they'd be in a road or they'd be in a setting with individuals around them, and this is not right, this is not normal, and those cows would go crazy. And if not herded back into the inside of their fence in a quick fashion, they would often just go crazy and they'd be put down almost immediately. You say, well, that's terrible, Pastor. How could they do that kind of thing? Well, the cow, at the time that he's inside the fence, he thinks to himself, there's something that I'm missing out on. And then he finds an opening, and he gets out there, and he realizes, you know what? The best life I had was back in that fence line. Time would fail me to tell you of the young person, or the young person, or the young person, or the young person that has thought to themselves, my parents have just set up so many fences that I'll never enjoy life. When in truth, those fences are there to protect, and those fences are a blessing. You see, God's word is a fence, and it provides protection from apostasy and error. We want to stay in the fence line of the word of God. There are a lot of forces outside of the fence that seem awful enticing and that would say to us, please come outside the fence. We have so much to offer. In just a few short weeks, the young people will be doing the play, Pilgrim's Progress, and that's the entirety of the theme is the challenge of who Pilgrim will listen to. Will he listen to these voices that are saying, get off the path, go your own way, do your own thing, or will he listen to the voices that are saying, stay on the straight and narrow and go the right way? There is protection inside the fence. We must know God's word. You see, we have fence lines of protection against false teaching. The word of God details for me what is right and what is wrong. And where man-made religion steps out of that fence line, I need to be discerning so that I can say, that is not right. Do you know the word of God? Have you meditated upon God's word? Have you studied God's word? Can you tell truth from error? I'm sad to say this morning that there are many well-known pastors that have left the pasture of truth. There are many churches that were once established on the fundamentals of the faith, and those churches have gone away from the pasture of truth. I'm sad to say that I have many classmates from days gone by in both our Christian school here and the Christian college that no longer stand in the same field and inside of the fence line of truth. They've chosen to go outside of the Word of God. You know, we're prone to be followers of works and personalities instead of followers of God's Word. An individual may pastor at a place for 30 or 40 years and then have some matters of doctrinal error. And there will be those in the congregation that will say, well, he's been such a good pastor for these 40 plus years that we're just going to go with him into this path. And the danger is that we adhere to a personality or a work more than we adhere to the Word of God. You know, you can't know God's Word if you don't read it. And you can't know God's Word if you don't carry it. You cannot discern what the preacher is saying in the pulpit if you don't have the Word of God with you to be able to read it and discern it and to follow it. I've heard messages from well-known preachers. If I made their name known, everybody here today would know. I remember one specific one that preached a message out of Colossians chapter 1. And he read the verses and told everybody he was going to preach from this text. And then in preaching from that text, he added a word into the text that totally changed the definition of what the text was saying. And on the tape and on the recording, I can hear people amening him to the nth degree. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wait a minute, what he's saying is not what the Bible's saying. But how was that happening? People were so loyal to the personality that it didn't matter. That what he was saying was actually doctrinal error. I was sitting in a preacher's conference, and I was just sharing this, I think. We were on the van ride, and I was telling them at this preacher's conference that we went to that the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is, that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It's very clear what happened with Demas. The Apostle Paul writing there in one of those closing pastoral epistles, and he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And then it says, Titus to Dalmatia and Cretans to some other place. He tells about two others that have left him, but not on the terms of Demas. They've just gone as emissaries to take the gospel. And a preacher got up in the pulpit and he said, this is why Demas left the truth. Now let me tell you why Titus left the truth. And he went to the book of Titus and he pulled out about four verses. And he said, the Apostle Paul told Titus to be sound in doctrine. And Titus was no longer sound in doctrine. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, what? And I said to my friend as we left the service that day, I said, man, Titus took it on the chin today. Well, the individual that was preaching is reading into the passage, and that's not at all what he was saying. And so we must be vigilant. We must know the Word of God. I want to challenge you. Do not become personality driven. Do not become a convention driven. Do not become denominationally driven. Be driven by this blessed book. The duty of every believer is to be a truth inspector. Now, there will be times that maybe you and I disagree on some nuance of Scripture. There's a great passage that I've brought up again and again there in the book of Judges, where one of the individuals says, the next thing that comes out of my house, I'm going to dedicate it to God. And the next thing that came out of his house was his... Does anybody know the passage? His daughter. Well, there are those that think he slew his daughter because he dedicated her to God. There are others that think, no, she just took this path of life and never got married. And you know what? When I get to heaven, I'll find out. I have an opinion, but you can think what you think on that. I can think what I think on that, and we can walk away and say, well, we're just not sure. There's all kinds of things like that in the Word of God. But I tell you what, there's no movement away from the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. There's no movement from the fact that Jesus Christ is not just a son of God. Jesus Christ is God. There is zero movement away from that. Denominations are moving away from the virgin birth. There's no movement away from the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There's no movement away from salvation by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. There's no movement away from those things. There's no movement away from the fact that man is a sinner. To me, there's no movement away from the fact that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and that everyone that would receive Jesus Christ can be born anew. Oh, there's a few things in the scriptures, and perhaps we could debate. Let me give you another great one. I'll just tease you on this, and you can just chew the fat on it all week long. Was Saul saved or not? Will we see Saul in heaven? Now, there's probably husbands and wives that will go home and come to a different conclusion, but please don't get separated or divorced over it, all right? I had a dear couple in our church in Tennessee, and they disagreed on it. I can't remember who thought what, but one of them thought Saul was never converted. The other one thought Saul was converted, and yes, we'll see him in heaven. Boy, just chew on that for a while and chase that tail for a long time. Oh, we can talk about those kinds of things, but my friend, I want you to know the Word of God. And I do not want us driven by personalities. I do not want us driven because, oh yeah, we've been in that place for all of these years, and surely no one would ever preach a falsehood from the pulpit of that place. My friend, there are churches that no longer stand for the truth today, and they've gone into apostasy when they were started in the fundamentals of the faith. And so we must be vigilant. The duty of every believer is to be a truth inspector. We must know God's word. Number two, we must know God's warnings. Did you see here in this passage, the Bible says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I come in on a Sunday morning, but you don't understand. I saw an angel last night. Thank you, Pastor Abby, for your service. You're done, you know. Well, just find out what I had on the pizza the night before I'm done, okay? If I ever elevate some kind of vision, I saw an 800-foot Jesus. We're elevating experience. We all know the song, Obedience Is, the very best way to show that you believe, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Tragically, there are many denominations that have taken on, experience is the very best way to know what you believe. Oh, but Pastor Abby, you don't know what I experienced. And I'd say, well, I tell you what, I don't think you experienced the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Apostle Peter said, I experienced the Mount of Transfiguration, and let me tell you something, believer, you have a more sure word than just my Mount of Transfiguration experience. Now, I think that experience was pretty unbelievable, wouldn't you agree? He's standing there and sees Jesus transfigured. He stands in the presence of Old Testament saints that have gone on before him and that have supernaturally appeared next to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I think that's an unbelievable experience. And yet he says, we have a more sure word. We ought to know the word of God. We ought to know the warnings of God. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 to 30, the Bible says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, which ye have learned, and avoid them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. Such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Let me help all of us understand something this morning. Some good people are involved in some churches and groups that are headed away from the pasture of truth. And they'll make a statement like this: I just really want to stay and be a positive influence as long as I can. Mark my words, they will take you down the road of apostasy with them. I rehearsed for you in messages past the clergy member there in Chicago that on Easter Sunday was describing angels dressed in drag and wanted all the kids to come up to the platform so that they could understand what drag was. And the clergy member was even dressed somewhat, I thought, in drag. Maybe it was his regular outfit. How is anyone in that audience? How is anyone attending that kind of a place? How is there anybody that is still in that building if that kind of thing is taking place on the platform? Well, somewhere they've elevated something else above the truth of Scripture. It's interesting to me because just about every epistle contains some kind of warning about false teachers, and we'd better heed the warnings. A number of weeks ago, we looked at the deception of Satan. It brings us to the duty of every believer. I want to challenge every believer. I want to challenge you individually to know the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, to meditate upon the Word of God, to be a discerner of truth from error, to stay in the fence line of the pasture of truth. But though we or an angel from heaven, though you have some kind of unbelievable experience, do not be lured away from the truth. The Bible does not change. And we look at number three, we move from the duty of every believer to the doom of false teachers. The Bible says, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The word accursed is the Greek word anathema. Let him be damned or doomed to destruction. The wording and warning from Paul is as strong as it possibly could be in the Greek language. God only has one message for doomed sinners. We're on our way to a Christless eternity, and he offers salvation by grace through faith. But he's got one message for those that are the blind leading the blind, and he says, you are doomed to destruction. And the sad part about it is that they're taking so many people with them in that deception. Tragically, hell will be filled with religious people. And they've been led there by deceivers. These deceivers will, number one, face the judgment of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 that every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Matthew 23, verses 13 and 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, ye shall receive the greater condemnation. Matthew 23, verse number 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? They will face the judgment of God. Will you take your Bibles and go with me to one final place? Matthew chapter 7. This is the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus Christ has a very stark warning. Can I ask you before we read these verses, how upset do you get over false doctrine? How dangerous is it in your thinking? Well, I tell you what, we must be vigilant. But Pastor, look at his crowds. Crowds do not determine the blessing of Almighty God. It's not my point to go down through all the names of false preachers today, but there are many. Most of them have great followings. But will you look at these verses here with me? In Matthew chapter 7, look down with me if you would at verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And God goes specifically to these kinds of individuals, and they are doomed. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's one thing for me to continue on my path towards damnation without Christ. It's another thing entirely for me to desire to stay on that path and then to keep others from coming to the truth and the light of the glorious gospel. And when Christ was here on this earth, and he made no bones about it, ye vipers, ye serpents, you all are whited sepulchers. Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul uses the strongest language possible to say, this bunch of individuals that are luring away people from the truth of Jesus Christ, let them be accursed, doomed to destruction. I want to challenge every believer this morning. Don't just say that you know of the Bible. Don't just say that you've read the Bible. But will you take time to genuinely know the Bible? Know the book. If I've not explained something very well and you come and say, hey, Pastor, could you go a little bit further on this? That's not a threat to me. That's a blessing to me to know that people are diving into the book. The Bible declares there in the New Testament that there were believers who searched the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. That's the challenge for every one of us. In our school here, we want the kids to know math. We want them to know English. We want them to know history. We want them to know the sciences. We want them to know all these different things. And we want them to be discerning. A young adult just recently emailed me and said, Pastor, will you look at this video that we have to watch in our one class? And I want you to watch it and to see what you think from it. And I'm excited because this young adult has, above all things that we've taught in the academy, she has learned to be discerning about the Word of God. Yes, we want them to be discerning in all these other curriculums and all these different subjects, but boy, above all, I want you to be discerning on this book. And I cannot be loyal to a man over this book. I cannot be loyal to a church over this book. I cannot be loyal to a college over this book. I cannot be loyal to a convention over this book. I cannot be loyal to a denomination over this book. I must be discerning. I know what Satan wants man to do. And boy, I sure want to stay inside of the fence line of Scripture. What about you? Let's pray. Father, would you help us from this passage to understand the deception of Satan? He is masterful. In many cases, it's one degree off of truth. We perhaps here in America would look at a religion that says that there's millions of gods, and we would say, well, that's not true. There's not millions of gods. And we wouldn't be lured away with millions of gods, but we'll be lured away with one false god. We'll watch someone in social media that carves their words up just so, so as not to reveal the fact that they do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. Not a God, not another God, but the God. And there are those in religion that will say that Jesus is not deity, or that say that Jesus Christ is not virgin born, that say that his blood atonement was not sufficient. Or maybe not even necessary. Lord, Satan uses so many of the same terms and has lured people into religion, and those folks are still lost in darkness. What a wonderful thing that we have in the Word of God. We can take the Bible and we can turn people from the darkness of religion to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Would you help us to be detectors of the truth, discerners of what is right? We know that Satan deceives, and we know that all of us as individuals have a duty to know the truth. But we also understand from the Word of God that hell will not be hot enough. In this sense, for that one that stood in the pulpit week after week after week after week and kept people in darkness. They lied to the ones that were coming to hear from God. They stand in pulpits and denominations week after week here in our counties, in surrounding area, week after week in our nation and around the globe. And there is a great warning from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul: let them be accursed. Father, I turn my attention to FBT. Help us as a church family to be discerners of the truth. I pray that this church would stand on the same foundation upon which it was built back in 1970, and that we would stand for the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes, and that that heart and that that spirit would be such that we would stand no matter what happens to those around us. We enjoy a wonderful connection to many great sister churches in this area, great pastors of these churches. And boy, I pray that that continues until the Lord returns. But if we should be the only one, Lord, may we stand. I want to challenge every individual to know the book. I want to challenge every father and mother to know the book. I want to challenge every family to follow the book. How often are family members led away because other family want to try something new and different? And it saddens me. But you've told us in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26 that we must demonstrate our love for you above all else, or we cannot be a disciple. Now, Lord, would you do the work in this time of invitation, I pray in Jesus' name.